Commandant by Waldo, read by Potvik Lover. It seemed to take days for Tosh, Owen and Gwen to finally go home, for Jack to finally have some time alone with Yanto. Only now that he had it, he wasn't sure what to do with it. Yanto was sorting through some papers on Tosh's station when Jack approached and silently turned him around. He took the papers out of Yanto's hand, tossed them back on the desk, and enveloped him in the hugest hug he could manage. He could feel the tears prickling in his eyes, and the telltale itch in his throat told him that if he let them fall, he'd be sobbing uncontrollably, probably for hours, the way he felt. So he battled them back. Yanto's arms came up slowly, one around Jack's waist and the other coming up to cradle his head. "What is it, Jack?" he asked softly. Jack shook his head against Yanto before sniffling and pulling away. "I'm sorry." Yanto held him fast, keeping him from stepping back and pretending everything was okay. "I didn't ask you to apologize or to leave. I just asked, what's wrong?" He pulled Jack back in and tipped Jack's head down onto his shoulder. He gently stroked his hair and placed a soft kiss on Jack's temple. Jack found himself melting into the kind of comfort he'd spent a year convinced he'd never feel again. He shivered against the memories. "There's so much. I can't. Please. I can't. Not now." Jack unconsciously tightened his arms around Yanto. "Okay." Yanto hugged him tight. "I'm right here." "I know," Jack whispered, the first tears making their way down his cheek, despite his efforts to stem them. He wiped them away angrily. "I know. I'm the one who went away. I know." He hated himself for this. He'd been home for less than a day. Well, what with the time resetting and all, how long exactly he'd been back was kind of up for grabs. But either way, this was probably not the way Yanto imagined their first quiet moment together. He bit his lip in frustration. "I'm so sorry for leaving like that. I'm so sorry I left you." "But you also came back," Yanto assured him, reaching up to wipe off the fresh tear tracks, far more gently than Jack had been doing. He was well aware of the way Jack had been looking at him when he'd explained that he'd told his doctor that he needed to come back to them. To him. Yes, he knew Jack had belatedly included everyone in his explanation. But Jack had looked at him and said very slowly, very deliberately, "I came back for you." And if he was misinterpreting, he didn't want anyone to tell him. Not after Jack had finally asked him on a proper date, had admitted for the first time that what they had wasn't a matter of convenience on nights when they both worked too late and had no one else to go home to. Jack wanted to take him out, be seen in public with him. Yes, he'd walked away once, but he'd come back closer than he'd been when he left. Yanto could see now that there was damage, maybe not physically, for Jack there never would be physical scars, but emotionally, Jack had been ravaged. Yanto wasn't sure which had done him in worse, the time he'd been away or this bastard heart who'd left with a cryptic message that had clearly shattered Jack on the spot. Yanto knew he'd eventually had a dozen four-letter words for Jack for leaving, but clearly this was not the time. Maybe it never would be, he realized. Jack was in far more pain on his own than Yanto could ever inflict on him, and Yanto didn't ever want to be the cause of even a tenth of the pain and anguish Jack was living with right now. Jack's hands tightened around fistfuls of Yanto's shirt. Yanto stroked his hair again. "Please, stay tonight," Jack begged as the sobs worked their way out, refusing to stay down any longer. He couldn't face being alone with everything in his head. He knew he wouldn't be able to get the words out anytime soon, but he couldn't face being alone. The doctor, the end of the world, the master, a year spent chained to the wall, being tortured and killed until he was sure he had to be mad from it all. Then to come back and find that his team really didn't need him. Added to that, a blast from his past that he'd never wanted to see, let alone have to introduce to his team, to Yanto, and that fucking bastard would bring up Gray. Jack sobbed again. He found himself hanging on to Yanto in a way that was probably painful, but he couldn't bring himself to loosen his grip. "I know it's not fair to ask you to stay, but..." "I'm actually very much okay with not letting you out of my sight for a while," Yanto soothed. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." "I know," Yanto whispered. They clung to each other for a few minutes longer, before Yanto pulled back and took Jack's head in both hands and kissed him. Go downstairs. I'll get Mufonwi squared away for the night and be down directly. Jack pulled him in for another soft kiss. Thank you. They hugged again before Jack reluctantly released Yanto and headed down through the hole in his office floor. In retrospective, it was something of a blessing that Yanto had let him go down alone. Jack found himself wandering around, picking things up, turning them over and setting them down as if they belonged to someone else, as if he didn't know what to expect to find in his own bedroom. He opened the dresser drawers and pawed through what he found. It seemed odd, after a year of having only the clothes on his back, and not even always those, to have a selection of things to choose from. He looked in the old-fashioned roll-top desk drawers. It was odd to see packets of letters that he would have sworn belonged to someone else if he hadn't known what they said without having to untie the silk ribbons that held the packets together. I brought this down, Yanto said as he descended the ladder. Jack jumped and closed the drawer, feeling guilty, like he'd been going through Yanto's things, not his own. He spun around to see Yanto holding the reminder of the bottle of wine the team had split to toast Jack's return. Jack spun nervously, his eyes finally landing on the tumbler and decanter set on the dresser. Not exactly wine glasses, he said, holding up two highball glasses and shrugging. But they'll do, Yanto said, splitting the remaining wine between the two glasses Jack held out. Jack wanted to slam the wine back, and then start on whatever other alcohol he could lay his hands on. It had been a very long time since he'd set out to get drunk purely to forget. Though he suspected he'd be dead of alcohol poisoning before he came close to forgetting. Then he'd wake up and be sober and still remember. He took a couple of sips of wine and set the glass on the bedside table before sitting on the edge of the bed. He felt the bed dip, and from the corner of his eyes he saw Yanto's glass join his own. He felt Yanto's hand rest gently on his shoulder. He could feel the heat of Yanto's body against his back. He reached up and covered one of Yanto's hands with his own. Yanto rearranged himself until he was sitting snug behind Jack's back. He slid Jack's braces down and began a careful massage, pausing when Jack flinched. Yanto knew there wouldn't be any physical marks, any bruises or scars, but Jack acted like he expected pain. He waited him out. When Jack would flinch, Yanto would pause until Jack relaxed, and then start again. The silence in the room was tangible, but it didn't press on them. Jack knew Yanto would wait as long as it took. Finally, Jack shrugged. I'm sorry about, well, that little meltdown. Yanto slid his hands down Jack's arms to hold both of his hands. I'm not. You said you can't talk about it yet. I respect that. I'll wait. I just have one question I'd like answered, if you can. Try me, Jack said, trying to keep a light tone. Your doctor. He's the doctor, right? The one Torchwood was originally designed to capture. Jack nodded. Like I said when you came here from London, they had it wrong. Yanto nodded. I know. I trust you. So this is my actual question. How long were you gone? I know he can manipulate time. Just because we thought you were gone 7 weeks. A year, Jack cut him off. And it's even more complicated than that. But for me, it was a little more than a year. Yanto wrapped his hands around Jack's waist and rested his chin on Jack's shoulder. Thank you for answering me, he whispered before reaching around to grab his wine. A year explained how Jack could come back so changed, so scarred on the inside. Jack finished his wine while they sat there and just embraced each other and the fact that they were together again. Eventually, Jack lifted one of Yanto's hands to his lips and kissed the back of his hand. I'm going to clean up for bed. Yanto slid back a bit, giving Jack space. When Jack went into the bathroom, Yanto began tidying up the neglected bedroom. He managed to strip the bed, change the sheets, and shake out the blankets before Jack came back out in his boxers. All yours, Jack said, giving Yanto a quick kiss on the cheek as they passed. Yanto shut the bathroom door and ran the tap for a few seconds, waiting for the water to warm up. He scrubbed his hands up and down his face. Jack was back. Jack was clearly still Jack, able to handle himself, his team, a sports car stealing blowfish, and some sociopath from the future, without breaking a sweat. But at the same time, he was so different. He wasn't molesting everything that moved, and he flinched from Yanto's touch. Yanto knew it wasn't personal, but it made him so deeply curious as to what would cause Jack enough damage to result in phantom pain, even after he'd died and come back at least once. Yanto grabbed a cloth from a stack on the sink and scrubbed his face and neck. Jack had never been completely predictable, but now he'd been even less so. Yanto hoped he'd have the patience to let Jack work this through on his own, let alone the sympathy to help if Jack decided to let him in. It was a little odd being on this side of things. Jack had been just a tad off the night he'd come home from being at the World War II dance, but more often than not, Jack was taking care of him. After the cannibals, Jack had brought him back here and gotten him cleaned up and tucked in and held him when the nightmares came crashing down. Hell, even after Lisa, once they both calmed down, Jack had taken care of him. Jack had come over for coffee several times during his suspension and had made an honest effort to get to know him, and he'd even let it go when Yanto had come back into work a few days before he was supposed to. Jack had always known what to say, what to do, and when to just let Yanto be. Yanto hoped he could be that person for Jack. Yanto finished cleaning up and stripped off his suit, draping it on the hanger Jack had been leaving on the shower rod just for that purpose, since that first time he'd asked Yanto to stay. He went back into the bedroom in his shorts and t-shirt. Jack was in bed, the overhead light was off, and the soft bedside lamp cast a dim glow over the room. Yanto slid in between the sheets and turned his back to Jack, snuggling into him, a reverse of their earlier position. He sighed and settled when he felt Jack's hand go around his waist, and they both silently acknowledged that this, at least, hadn't changed. Jack pulled away just long enough to turn off the remaining light before resettling himself along Yanto's back, his breath tickling Yanto's ear. "I meant what I said before. I want to take you out. I wasn't just..." "I know you weren't," Yanto cut him off, wondering where this vulnerable Jack had come from. He wondered if there wasn't some signal he'd been sending off that made Jack think he didn't trust him. He shuffled over onto his back and gently traced Jack's lips with one finger. "I know you meant it, and I'm looking forward to it." Jack nodded, looking too relieved at that fact for Yanto's comfort. "I just didn't want you to think I was playing with you." Yanto leaned in and kissed him gently. "I know you weren't, Jack. You'd never do something like that. Go to sleep now," Yanto instructed, his hand coming up to gently brush at the hair at Jack's temple. Jack nodded and gently nudged Yanto until he rolled over to once again have his back to Jack's front. They both settled, and finally they both slept. Jack tossed and turned for a few seconds, the edges of a dream fading before he could really figure out what he'd been dreaming about. He was breathless and shaky, so it was nothing good. He looked at Yanto, sleeping, so far as Jack could tell, peacefully and soundly. He slipped out of bed, gently shushing Yanto when he reached for him and making sure he was settled before padding across to the bathroom. He splashed cold water on his face, hoping to rid himself of the last vestiges of that dream he couldn't remember. A nightmare, to be sure, but of what? He knew there was such a ridiculously high number of things it could be. He turned off the bathroom light before opening the door. The little bit of light coming in from the office was hitting Yanto square in the face, not that he showed any signs of knowing it. Jack stood in the doorway, watching him for a long time. Yanto had long ago gotten used to Jack getting up before him. Jack only slept 2 or 3 hours a night. Yanto had told him that he was content as long as they could fall asleep together. If they didn't often wake together, he could live with that. Jack wasn't sure if he wanted to try getting some more sleep or not. There'd been about a week between the time the master had died and Jack had come home. Jack had been afraid to leave the doctor while he mourned the one other being who could understand what it was like to be him. And the doctor had been concerned over Jack's well-being, knowing that he'd been tortured and killed over and over. He'd insisted Jack spend some time on a beach with him. He'd made sure they all got some rest and some perspective before allowing Jack and Martha to come home. He knew Martha would need to spend some time with her family, and Jack would want to check in with his team. Jack knew the doctor expected at least one of them to rejoin him, but Martha had told him in confidence that she'd probably be staying back in London, for just a while at least. He'd had to choose. He could have Yanto, or he could have the doctor. Seeing Yanto curl around the extra pillow told him he'd made the right choice. He sighed. He'd made the right choice for him. He wasn't sure he'd made the right choice for Yanto. There was so much Yanto didn't know about him. Yanto was, by nature, a private person. Jack wondered if some of it wasn't learned behavior in order to keep the secrets Torchwood demanded of him. Jack wondered, not for the first time, what Yanto had been like as a child. Torchwood, Jack knew, had taken so much from Yanto, and he wasn't sure anymore if he wasn't doing more of the same. There was so much Yanto didn't know. Even before Jack had run off with the doctor, Jack had kept secrets from him. Hell, he kept them so well that he even kept them from himself more often than not. It shamed him to think of how long it had been since he'd even thought of Gray. He went to the full closet, a bar suspended across a corner, and grabbed a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and a jumper. As he was putting on his jeans, he heard Yanto shift. Jack? Noticing the empty bed, Yanto sat up on his elbows. Jack? Everything okay? Jack sat on the edge of the bed and kissed Yanto's forehead. Fine. I'm just done sleeping. Yanto glanced over at the clock. Already? I can lay down with you if you want, Jack offered. Yanto knew Jack would eventually get bored and restless and keep him from sleeping if he asked him to do that. But there was something in Jack's face. Just until I fall back asleep? Jack left his jeans on and lay down on top of the covers. Yanto curled up with him, his head on Jack's chest. It only took a few minutes for Yanto to drop off again, and when he did, Jack carefully lay him back on the pillow. He pulled on his t-shirt and jumper and sat at the desk. He lit a pillar candle on the corner of the desk and moved it to where he was able to see what he was doing. He dug through the middle drawer until he found some decent stationery. First, Satellite 5. Second, the Time Agency. Third, Gray. Fourth, John Hart. Five, the Valiant. He knew there was no order or logic to his list. He just needed to get everything out as fast as he could. Sixth, missing, scratch that, stolen 2 years. Seventh, the end of the universe. Eighth, crashing a Chula hospital ship on London and almost destroying it. London, not the ship. It was already in bad shape. Ninth, this isn't just sex. Not anymore. Maybe it was, but I don't want it to be anymore. 10th, getting Torchwood signed over. 11th, I caused it all. If I hadn't made the TARDIS go to the end of the universe, Dr. Yana never would have known the truth. The list continued to the bottom of the page. Big things, small but important things. Things that had happened 100 years ago. Things that wouldn't happen for thousands of years to come. Things Yanto needed to know about him before Jack could possibly believe Yanto was able to make an informed decision about being with him. Not sleeping with him. The sex was easy. This, the really being together, was hard. It was why Jack had avoided it so adamantly for so long. Jack knew Yanto was worth it. He wasn't sure Yanto would think he was. Not anymore. Not after leaving. And not after the secret's end. There was just so much. He dug around in the hutch part of the roll-top desk until he found the intricately styled metal stamp. He folded the letter in thirds and tipped the candle until a half dozen drops of wax fell onto the fold. He pressed the seal into the wax and then wrote, January 16th, 2009, on the front. 1 year. He'd give himself 1 year to tell Yanto about everything on that list. If Yanto was still there on January the 16th, 2009, then Jack would know that Yanto had accepted him for who he is, who he'd been. He tucked the letter into a pile of important personal papers and blew out the candle. 1 year. If he couldn't do it, he'd tell Yanto to go and find himself a girlfriend or a boyfriend who could give him everything he deserved. And he'd made it clear that if at any time it would be too much for Yanto, that he was free to walk away, and Jack would never make him feel bad for it, no matter how miserable it might make him. He couldn't remember the last time he felt so dependent on another person's affection for his own well-being. He swiped angrily at the tears streaming down his face. He knew it was the right thing to do, but he was dreading the fact that it could backfire, that Yanto could walk away and decide that Jack really was the monster he'd accused him of being. Jack? Jack wiped his face off again before turning to Yanto. Yeah? Yanto's face screwed up. Is something burning? I lit a candle for a bit. Jack tucked away the embossing stamp and the fountain pen. I was thinking of trying to get some more sleep. Any room over there? Yanto smiled at him in the dim light from the trapdoor. Always. Jack stripped back out of his clothes and climbed back into bed, his bodies and Yanto's falling back into their instinctive positions, the one Jack imagined time and again as he was chained to the walls of the Valiant. He shoved back the tears, successfully this time, and tucked Yanto tightly. So much to say, but as he lay there, with Yanto gently stroking his fingers where they rested on his belly, he began to think that it just might be okay. This was, after all, during a year of pain and hell, exactly what he'd dreamed of.